FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Mark Cox, it's a judicial committee hearing day. It is not as wild as the Kavanaugh hearing. Have you been watching it today so far?
It's kind of boring. I watched a little bit of it earlier, and I didn't get to see the Cory Booker interaction, but I'm not surprised. You hit the nail on the head. It's an opportunity for each senator to, you know, to either stand up and lecture or try to throw a curve to the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate Bill Barr because it was a beautiful choice by Trump, actually.
Hard to argue with.
It's hard for them to attack somebody who's already held the job and who got approved almost unanimously on a voice vote 20-some years ago when he was or however long ago it was, when he was Attorney General. I think I may have the dates wrong, but...
Yeah, I feel like the president, with these very high-profile appointments... He has not done any appointments, unless I'm forgetting someone that you could point out to me, that are really controversial. He's picked people who, when they're picked, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that person, that should be an easy go. Then we find out that, you know, shockingly, Brett Kavanaugh likes beer, and then we all have to recoup from that realization.
Trump derangement syndrome is real, and it doesn't really matter who the nominee is. They're mad at Barr because he may or may not have communicated with somebody in the Trump administration, you know, regarding subpoenas for the president or whatever the case may be. He's not going to make that decision anyway.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you this question real quick before I get to government shutdown conversation. Did you see the spread that the president provided for Clemson, the national champions, of the fast food?
I did. It was beautiful.
You thought it was beautiful? You know, President Trump's getting some flack for that. People don't think it was classy enough.
I heard the bite from CNN this morning where some talking head questioned the fact that he might have been sexist by suggesting the first lady and the second lady could have gone into the kitchen and made a salad, but he didn't think that these big hulking athletes would have any interest in that.
I wonder if that spread was Michelle Obama approved.
Probably not. Of course not.
I doubt it.
Do you think he'd have been better off if he would have asked Melania to go into the kitchen and make him a sandwich?
No, I wouldn't have appreciated that myself. No. So the government shutdown continues. President Trump invites Democrats to the White House today for lunch, says, let's talk about this. They don't take him up on that opportunity. So they are, once again, avoiding any kind of conversation, any kind of negotiation. And the president keeps throwing the opportunity out there, and they keep saying no. We've talked about this multiple times, and I don't think we're any closer. We might even be further from a resolution here on this issue.
Do they not like fast food? Why wouldn't they come?
I don't know what lunch was. Maybe it was whatever the football players didn't eat.
Yeah, whatever they didn't eat. We're having warmed up quarter pounders today for lunch. Come on over. You know, it's kind of sad. It's embarrassing for America, and it's sad that you have a president who doesn't take a salary, right? Who spent the entire holiday in the White House, pretty much by himself, begging the other side to come to the table and address this problem. Here he is again today, offering some negotiation, some solution, potentially, because it's a negotiation. He knows they're going to counteroffer him with something, and they won't even come to the table and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that, like so many of Donald Trump's previous political opponents, they underestimate who they're dealing with. They're used to dealing with politicians who wet their finger and stick it up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing, and they make policy decisions based on that. Donald Trump doesn't care. He didn't run for office as a politician, and I don't really think, quite frankly, I think he's convinced he'll win re-election, but I don't think every decision he makes clearly is based on how it's going to affect him in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to just cave because we're 24 or 25 or 30 days into a government shutdown. It's the Democrats who pray at the holy grail of government. They're playing a game that I think they're in over their heads with Donald Trump.
Mark, I think this is a very interesting topic that you're talking about, this meeting today. The president did two interesting things. Well, the president did something interesting, and the two interesting things happened. One, he invited rank-and-file members of Congress. I don't even think he invited leadership. I think he said he wanted to talk to, because, you know, he's already had meetings with leadership on both sides. He wanted to talk to rank-and-file members of Congress. And then, like you just mentioned, no Democrat took him up on it. No Democrats showed up. They boycotted the meeting, essentially. He got a little bit of flack for not dealing with leadership and only inviting rank and file, which I think is a brilliant move. And then, like you just mentioned, it doesn't even matter because the Democrats, none of them even showed up to try to discuss a resolution. What did you think of the whole thing and dealing with rank and file members instead of leadership today?
Well, they're probably scared to death of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, her own daughter said that she'll cut your head off and you won't even know that you're bleeding. Her own family members think that about her. So I suspect the rank and file members have been ordered by Nancy, who is probably sunning herself on a beach in Puerto Rico right now, that you better not go meet with him because I'm not going to meet with him. So you better not go meet with him. That's sad.
Yeah.
That they're scared to death to go to the White House and at least listen to what he has to say. I don't know. I think that Trump is going to outmaneuver them on this. I think they're going to come to the table eventually. I'm really surprised. And you know, I don't know if there are any Democrats listening, but you've got to admit that we live in a strange world when the stated goal of the Democratic Party for years was to gain some path to citizenship for these DACA kids. The president suggests that he's willing to negotiate on that and make it part of the package for wall funding, and they still won't come to the table. They won't trade 0.1% of this spending bill to secure potentially citizenship for 1 million kids that have been brought to this country, against their will or too young to make the decision for themselves. That's huge. The Latino community should be paying attention to this.
Doesn't that show you who needs this government to continue to be shut down more?
Sure.
Just the simple fact that there is an unwillingness to negotiate something that is really important to the future of the country. Every day that goes by that we don't have a wall to make our processes, the ability to enter this country legally, every day that goes by where we don't reform how we manage our border security is another day, another group of individuals that we're going to have to process. And whatever deal gets done, whether the Republicans are involved in the conversation or not, and the Democrats have said over and over and over that this is an issue that they want to address, they just only want to address it when they have all the power.
Well, you know, even when they're out of power, they have the mainstream media working on their behalf as part of their political action committee is the mainstream media in this country. I just want to point out a tweet that I looked at earlier from Charlie Kirk. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter or not. And he said, make no mistake, if 30 Republicans got drunk on the beach with 109 lobbyists in Puerto Rico watching Broadway plays during a government shutdown, it would be the number one story in the world, and the media would be screaming for resignations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet the Democrats are doing it, and I haven't watched every network, but I've only seen Fox covering it so far.
Yeah, well, you know, the partisanship in our media is certainly something that is going to continue on. It seems to be getting worse and worse. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Wesley Bell, and I'm running out of time here. Do you have the opportunity to stick with us for one more segment? Are you in? Okay, well, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll grab you on the other side of this because I really want to get your thoughts. I know you've been following this carefully, so we'll be right back with you, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, more with Mark Cox. If you want to weigh in on the Wesley Bell issue here in the county, 314-241-9797. A lot of conversations swirling around that. We're going to get Tony's perspective on that as well, as he was featured on the Weekend Report, which you can get on the podcast at radio.com. If you missed it, go check out the entertainment, the weekend report. Sorry. And see what went down there. We'll talk with Mark about it as soon as we come back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Tony, got some news, a headline here?
Yeah, British Prime Minister's Brexit deal was rejected by lawmakers today. This news just breaking. This was the anticipated result. It sends the country's preparations to leave the European Union back to the drawing board. It's one of the most eagerly anticipated votes in UK history. Lawmakers rejected Theresa May's deal 432 to 202, with dozens of members of her own ruling Conservative Party voting against her. So pretty overwhelming vote to shoot down Theresa May's Brexit deal.
Yep, we'll follow that. And if there's any other headlines that come out of it, we'll let you know. Mark Cox with us right now, the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1, hanging over from the previous segment. Mark, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds like Theresa May need Donald Trump to come over there and negotiate for her.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be like, yeah, come over here.
That's a mess. I mean, honestly, she went to the European Union and she came back with a, you know, some sort of a half-cooked deal that is not in the best interest of the people in Britain, and Parliament rejected it. So what do they do now? She claims this is the best deal they were ever going to get. It was take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they may walk away without a deal.
So we'll continue to follow this news. We're watching the William Barr confirmation hearings for the attorney general position that President Trump has nominated him for. That continues on. Marsha Blackburn, also a new member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, asking questions right now. But I wanted to talk to you, Mark, about St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. A lot of the news that he's been making here, a lot of people leaning into what he's been saying he's going to do, not going to do. Your general thoughts so far on what you've learned from Wesley Bell?
Well, I appreciated what Tony and Chris Arps were able to get out of him this past weekend on the Weekend Report. I listened to that, and none of it's a surprise. I mean, Wesley Bell ran on the platform of criminal justice reform, and to people who voted for him, that means not holding criminals accountable, number one, and it means ignoring laws you don't like, number two, to get the results that you can't get legislatively. My argument is if you don't think 100 grams of marijuana, which is by some accounts 3.5 ounces or enough to roll 350 or 400 joints, if you think people walk around with that much in their pocket and they're not selling it, you're nuts.
Yeah.
So if you choose to ignore the laws that are on the law says that's illegal. He says I'm not going to prosecute people that only have that much with them. I mean, that goes beyond prosecutorial discretion, in my opinion, to prosecutorial misconduct. And I don't think the majority of citizens agree with it. And I'll go further than that because he put out an article where he basically said he's responding. He feels like he has a mandate because of the number of people that voted for him. Well, guess what? You didn't have an opponent. You won because you won the Democratic primary, which means only Democrats voted in the Democratic primary. And in the general, you didn't have an opponent. So you don't have a mandate. You snuck in, and you're going to try to accomplish whatever it was you promised to your Democratic supporters.
It's embarrassing that he didn't have anybody going against him. That's... Are there county Republicans at some, you know, at least at some fault for not at least trying to run somebody? Yeah. Because that's ridiculous.
I think they're embarrassed. You know, I mean, and then it was too late. Nobody thought McCulloch could be defeated.
Right.
In a general election, so they didn't even bother to throw a name into the hat. I'll bet they'll never make that mistake again.
Mark, I asked him specifically about that marijuana question. As you and I know from our many debates off the air, I am an outspoken proponent of medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. However, I asked the prosecutor, isn't, even though I am for recreational marijuana, isn't that a decision that needs to be made by the voters for a law to be changed, or whether or not, you know, how is it up to one man, him, to be the one that decides which laws get enforced and which laws don't get enforced? And the answer, the short version of the answer was it's a waste of time and resources. What I got from him overall from my discussion, and what I was trying to learn was, is he going to be a prosecutor, or is he continue, or is he going to continue to be a
an activist?
Exactly, yeah. An activist. And I'm not convinced that he's not going to just be an activist holding that office. If do you agree with that? And if so, how dangerous can that be?
Well, I mean, you would hope that the gravity of it soaks in at some point. But I mean, like I said, he got elected for a reason. He got elected for a reason. I don't know. You know, we elect representatives to go to the legislature to pass laws for us. If you don't like them, you need to get them changed at the legislative level. And I've argued this on a broader scope for a long time, that it's long been a strategy of Democrats in this country to skirt the legislature, and where they can't change things themselves, they try to change it through the court system. Or in this case, prosecutorial discretion, because Kim Gardner ran for circuit attorney in the city on the same platform, supported by people like George Soros, who want criminal justice reform to be handled at the prosecutor level.
I'm from watching all of this unfold, the activism that seems to be behind this, the political motivation that seems to be behind a lot of his positions, Maybe it's naive to say this, but you'd kind of want the prosecutor to be rooted in the law and blind to who's on the other side of it. And some of the policies that have been initiated here seem to be rooted in policy that is political more than that is law based. I mean, is he going to get into this and maybe move back a little bit closer to the center, or do you see this moving further to the left side of the aisle?
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I met Mr. Bell one time. Chris Arps told me that at one point in his life he identified as a Republican. I don't know what happened in the meantime. But
did Bruce Rauner.
We haven't even talked about the Michael Brown case yet.
Yeah.
But that's going to come up next. And the guys asked him about that this weekend, and he wouldn't answer the question. I won't get into that. Well, that's a yes, because if the answer was no, you would say no. But if you were considering taking that case to the grand jury again, you wouldn't answer that question, and he didn't answer it. I firmly believe he probably hired Robert Steele, the prosecutor that prosecuted Jason Stockley in the city. He's now hiring him at the county level to pursue Darren Wilson. I could be wrong, but that's what I suspect is going to happen.
How long is the term for prosecuting attorney? Do we know? How many years? I'm Googling it, and I'm not finding it quickly.
It's 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's 4 years.
That, but I think it's a four-year term.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, we'll continue to be listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show as you are covering this, and we'll watch the stories, the headlines as they come up too as well. Mark, thanks for sticking over an extra segment with us. We appreciate it.
You bet. And Tony, by the way, tomorrow morning I'm interviewing Alex Berenson, who's written a book on marijuana and violence and mental health. So you may want to tune in.
Okay. What time is that?
That was a...
I'll probably be sleeping from all the drugs
excited.
I do.
Very excited. Okay. Mark.
I love it. I love it.
Appreciate it.
I want to have this debate with you, Mark, like
you
long
bet,
form one day. Really, I'd love to do that.
We'll talk to you soon, Mark. Thank you.
See ya. Thanks.
On Twitter, at MarkCox971. You argue with him about marijuana. I argue with him about being too stuck on policy issues that will never get you anything in the end.
Have you ever changed his mind?
Oh, no. I think I've actually fortified his own opinion. I think he uses me. It's like, you know, a knife sharpener. Use me, sharpen that knife on me, and then he comes on the air and gives you his well-educated and reasonable opinions that sometimes we just disagree on. And there's nothing wrong with that.